And so on to the third of our trio of Mr. Quinn's stories. Is it a murder mystery, or is there some other game afoot?
Agatha Christie's The Mysterious Mr. Quinn. At the Bells and Motley. Read by Martin Jarvis.
Mr. Satterthwaite was annoyed. Two punctures already, and now a third. Kirtlington Mallet. The name was somehow familiar. Down the road he perceived something that creaked and swung in the wind. "There's an inn here, I see. Bells and Motley, sir," said the garage man. "That's it yonder." "Why not try it, sir?" said his driver. "This will take another hour, and it's already past 8 o'clock." From afar there came a rumble of thunder. The landlord of the Bells and Motley led the way towards the coffee room.
"Only one gentleman here, sir. Name of Quinn."
"Quinn? Oh, that's the name, sir. Friend of yours, perhaps."
"Mr. Harley Quinn?"
"That's right, sir. Ah, here is the gentleman." Tall, dark, smiling, the familiar figure of Mr. Quinn rose from the table.
"Mr. Satterthwaite, we meet again."
"Delighted! A lucky breakdown for me. My car, you know. And you're staying here?"
"One night only."
"Then I am indeed fortunate."
Mr. Satterthwaite sat down, beaming with expectancy. "I assure you," said Mr. Quinn, "that I have not a rabbit to produce from my sleeve. In any case, it is you who do the conjuring tricks, not I. I speak the cue, that's all."
As the landlord set things on the table, there was a vivid flash of lightning and a clap of thunder overhead.
"A wild night, gentlemen. Just such a night when Captain Harwell brought his bride home the very day before he disappeared forever."
"Of course," remembered Mr. Satterthwaite, "Kirtlington Mallet." He had read, 3 months before, every detail of the astonishing disappearance of Captain Richard Harwell.
"It was at this inn the captain stayed for the hunting last winter," said the landlord. "Handsome young gentleman, beautiful young wife, and well thought of for all she was a stranger. There's some dark mystery there. It broke her heart. You've heard as she's sold the place up and gone abroad. Excuse me, gentlemen."
"A dark mystery," said Mr. Quinn softly.
"Quinn, are you pretending that we can solve it where Scotland Yard failed?"
"Why not? Time has passed."
"A curious idea of yours, that one sees things better afterwards. I'm not sure I recall the facts clearly, anyway."
"I think you do."
"Well, it was just over a year ago that Ashley Grange passed into the possession of Miss Eleanor Locuto. Her forebears were émigrés from the French Revolution, and had handed down to her a collection of almost priceless French relics and antiques. After the tragedy, when she decided to sell the Grange and everything it contained, an American millionaire made no bones about paying the price."
Mr. Quinn nodded.
"Young Eleanor was an orphan," continued Mr. Satterthwaite, "but she had complete control of her own fortune. She remained heart-free. That is, until the coming of Richard Harwell, a light-hearted daredevil of a fellow. At the end of 2 months, he and Eleanor were engaged. The marriage followed 3 months afterwards. They went abroad for a 2 weeks' honeymoon, and then returned to Ashley Grange. The following morning, at about 7:30, Captain Harwell was seen in the garden by one of the gardeners, John Matthias. And yet from that minute no one ever set eyes on Harwell again."
"And young Stephen Grant?" prompted Mr. Quinn.
"Ah, Grant had been in charge of Captain Harwell's horses, but had been discharged by his master for some trifling offence. He was detained by the police, but soon released."
"So, who was Richard Harwell?"
"Nobody here had bothered to inquire. The police theory was clear. A rich girl and an impudent impostor. But Miss Locuto had an excellent firm of solicitors in London. Their evidence deepened the mystery. She had wished to settle a sum outright upon her prospective husband, but he had refused. So, surely, Mr. Quinn, Harwell was no swindler. And anyway, how could he have managed to disappear so completely at that hour?"
"Indeed," murmured Mr. Quinn. "The gardener?"
Yes, John Matthias. The police questioned him. He never wavered. His wife bore him out. He left his cottage at 7 to attend to the greenhouses, returned at 8:20. The servants in the house heard the front door slam at about 7:15. That fixes the time when Harwell left the house. I know what you are thinking. Time enough for Matthias to have made away with his master. But why? And if so, where did he hide the body?
The landlord came in, bearing a tray.
Excellent, beamed Mr. Satterthwaite. We have been discussing the disappearance of Captain Harwell. What became of the gardener, Matthias?
Took a place in Essex, I believe, sir.
What kind of a man was he?
A middle-aged fellow, bent and crippled with rheumatism. I think it was sheer kindness of Miss Eleanor to keep him on. They'd only been here a month when the thing happened. Miss Lacuto was mostly up in London.
And your theory?
Oh, it's my belief he was done in. But who by, I can't say. I'll fetch you gentlemen the cheese.
The storm, quieting down, suddenly broke out with redoubled vigour. A girl came into the room carrying the advertised cheese.
A stormy night, Mary, said Mr. Quinn.
I hate it, she said. The storm sets them off talking. You've heard how my father goes on? Can't anyone let past things be?
A thing is only past when it is done with.
Oh, isn't this done with? Suppose Captain Harwell wanted to disappear.
You think of his own free will?
Makes better sense than to suppose a kind-hearted creature like Stephen Grant murdered him. Father won't hear of our getting married. I've nothing against Stephen, he says, but we don't know, do we? Stephen, that wouldn't hurt a fly.
Her eyes were fixed on Mr. Quinn's face, as though something in it was drawing this outburst from her.
Can nothing be done? Said Mr. Satterthwaite. Nothing but the truth can help, Stephen. If Captain Harwell were to be found, if he was to come back...
She broke off, then hurried from the room. Mr. Satterthwaite's kind heart was troubled. Mr. Quinn said gravely, Where others are blind, you can see.
Well, we see Richard Harwell as a sinister figure, a man with a mysterious past.
We see him in the limelight.
The result of the tragedy, Mr. Satterthwaite went on, is that Mrs. Harwell is a wife and not a wife, unable to marry again. An American millionaire buys up Ashley Grange, and somebody in Essex has secured John Matthias as a gardener. For all that, we do not suspect them of having engineered the disappearance.
So, said Mr. Quinn, let us say the disappearance took place 100 years ago. That we, in the year 2025, are looking back to last year. Sum it up for me, Mr. Satterthwaite.
Well, shall we say that 1924 was the age of crossword puzzles and cat burglars?
Go on.
The cat burglar had a great innings on the continent. You remember that series of famous thefts from French chateaus? It is surmised that one man alone could not have done it, that a troop of acrobats were concerned. The Clondinis, a mother, son, and daughter. They vanished from the stage in a rather mysterious fashion. Yeah, but we are wandering from our subject.
Only across the channel, said Mr. Quinn. There was a pause. It seemed somehow significant.
Why did he disappear? Cried Mr. Satterthwaite. It is a kind of conjuring trick.
And wherein lies the essence of a conjuring trick? Asked Mr. Quinn.
The quickness of the hand
deceives the eye. Exactly. There are many devices, are there not, Satterthwaite? A pistol shot? The waving of a red handkerchief? The eye is diverted by a spectacular action that means nothing at all.
All right, Quinn. The particular pistol shot in this conjuring trick is the disappearance. Remove that, and nothing.
So, suppose things took the same course without that dramatic disappearance.
You mean if Miss Lacuto were still to sell Ashley Grange and leave for no reason? Well, that would have aroused talk and a lot of interest in the value of the contents. Ah, yes. I see. Too much limelight on Captain Harwell. But no one makes inquiries about her. Were those wonderful heirlooms really handed down to her? No. No, of course. They were stolen from the French chateaus. Difficult to dispose of. She buys Ashley Grange. Then he comes. The plot is laid beforehand. The marriage, the disappearance, the sale of everything that reminds her of past happiness. She leaves the neighbourhood a sad and tragic figure. The great coup has come off. The eye of the public has been deceived by the quickness of the hand and the spectacular nature of the trick. There. But for you, Quinn, I should never have seen it. It must have been difficult, though, for Harwell to disappear as he did. Police all over England were looking for him.
They probably were looking all over England, said Mr. Quinn.
Simpler to remain hidden at the Grange.
He was, I think, very near the Grange.
Matthias's cottage? But the police must have searched it.
Repeatedly, I should imagine. And Mrs. Matthias? Said Mr. Quinn.
What? If that gang was really the Clandinis, well, there are three of them. The two young ones were Harwell and Eleanor Locuto. The mother? Was she Mrs. Matthias? But in that case...
Matthias suffered from rheumatism.
Ah, I have it now. Matthias was there a month. During that time, Harwell and Eleanor were away for a fortnight on a honeymoon. For the fortnight before the wedding, they were supposedly in town. A clever man could have doubled the parts of Harwell and Matthias. When Harwell was there, Matthias was conveniently laid up with rheumatism, with Mrs. Matthias to sustain the fiction. As you say, Harwell was hidden in Matthias's cottage. He was Matthias. When at last Ashley Grange was sold, he and his wife gave out they were taking a place in Essex. Exit John Matthias and wife forever.
The landlord came into the coffee room. Your driver is at the door, sir. Mr. Satterthwaite rose. So did Mr. Quinn, who went across to the window, drawing the curtains. A beam of moonlight streamed into the room. The storm is over, he said.
Mr. Satterthwaite pulled on his gloves. The commissioner is dining with me next week. I shall put my theory before him.
It will be easily proved or disproved, said Mr. Quinn. A comparison of the objects at Ashley Grange with a list supplied by the French police.
Just so. Well, goodbye, Mr. Quinn. I cannot tell you how much I have appreciated this unexpected meeting. You are leaving tomorrow, I think you said?
Possibly tonight. My business here is done. I come and go, you know.
Mr. Satterthwaite reclined luxuriously in the comfortable limousine. He saw the girl, Mary, come out on the steps and stand under the creaking inn sign. She little knows, he said to himself, what I am going to do.
As the car drew away, the sign of the Bells and Motley swayed gently in the wind.
Martin Jarvis was reading At the Bells and Motley by Agatha Christie. The Mysterious Mr. Quinn is a Jarvis and Ayres production for BBC Radio 4.